Thank you, Lord. It's good to be here. Amen? There's lots of reasons to celebrate, and just a warm welcome to all of you. Today's a special day because today, there's just a little hum coming. If you can just shut everything off back here except for this mic. Today we're ordaining Pastor Alvin Rainville. So, woo! And I would say that this is a day that has been coming for a long time. I know that in Alvin's life, he's felt that call to ministry for many years. And sometimes we have to wait on God. Sometimes we need to just be still. And I know Alvin's done that for a long time, just praying until this opportunity, until God finally opened this door. But all praise goes to Jesus today and to his the way that he is the Lord of his church. And we're grateful that today we get to celebrate this and to enjoy this together as a body of Christ as we appoint Alvin as our leader and as a pastor among us, as we acknowledge the gifts that God has given him, as we promise to pray for him and to support him and to be willing to be instructed and taught under his leadership. I'd like to just share a little of this today. Today we celebrate God's gift of faithful leadership for his people. In the leaders of the church, we see the love of Jesus for his people. In Alvin, we see the love of Jesus for his people. As Lord of the church, Jesus appoints leaders, and by his Holy Spirit, he equips them. And by his word, they grow in discipleship. Following Christ, leaders serve others in selfless love, and by prayer, they grow in grace. The church also appoints certain people to special ministries according to the gifts that God has given to them. In response to his baptism, Alvin professed Christ as his Lord and Savior. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, God has blessed Alvin with gifts that have enriched the ministry of this congregation from its very beginning. Alvin's faithful use of these gifts has helped shape this church both in times of testing and times of great blessing. I want to invite Pastor Willard Swam to come forward. Why don't you come on up, Pastor Swam? I believe, if I remember correctly, you led Alvin to the Lord. Is that right, Alvin? Yeah, so here's a man who discipled you and who led you to Jesus. And I just welcome, and we honor you today, Pastor Swam. We honor you for your faithfulness. God bless you.
Thank you.
You want me to help you up there? There's kind of some hard steps. So there we go. You can speak in this mic if you want. Is that all right?
Yes. What a joy to be here with you today. Yesterday morning, Alvin phoned to our house. Yesterday morning, I think it was. Yes. I wasn't home at the time. My wife said, "Oh, you got a phone call from Alvin. You'll find out what he has in mind." When I talked to him, he said he wanted to let me know that today he was going to be commissioned and ordained to the ministry in this church. What a thrill that was to me.
Mm-hmm.
We've prayed for that man many times. And at times I wondered how he would do. But he has come through. He has come through. And he's come through again and again. Oh, what a joy. We first met him in 1975. That's quite a while ago. Mm. But he's traveled the road and we're grateful. Thankful that he's such a blessing to you,
amen.
He and his wife, because they are a blessing to us. They've been wonderful. And we pray God's blessing upon them as they now take on this wonderful responsibility. Serving God in that kind of responsibility is a real challenge, but it's a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And we pray that Alvin and Kathy will be made a continuing blessing to all of you in this congregation. I say again, what a thrill to be here. We see some other friends that we saw in years past have come today for Alvin's dedication, and we pray your blessing upon them. Okay?
Amen. Enough? You want to just pray?
All right,
will
sure.
You pray?
Let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, what a delight to bow before you with this company of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ on this wonderful occasion when this dear man is being inducted into the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this place and in this city.
Yes, God.
A place that needs to hear the word of God and to respond to the movings of the Spirit of God, calling them to confess their sins and to seek Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that Alvin did, and we pray that you will be with him as he goes into the ministry here. Use him in a mighty way to help many people come to know you and to help many to grow in their faith and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And may there be great blessing upon this place of his ministry with the pastor in this place, and that they'll see God at work in their hearts and through their efforts. And we'll give you praise, Lord, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll let you get through here. If you want to just sit in the front, because we're going to pray for him pretty soon here. We have no handrails.
And I need them now for something.
Have a chair. Alvin, do you want to come forward? We want to hear a few words from you as well. Yeah. Amen.
Hello.
There we go.
There it is. It takes a community to raise up a child. And many of you over the years have grown to know, and you've blessed me with your input into my life. You know, I could name a few, but all of you have blessed me.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I couldn't arrive here without your help. So by you speaking into my life, praying for me, I am here because of that, because of your prayers, because of your intercessions, because of God's grace and mercy.
That's
Amen?
Right. Yes.
And just to bring you back to 1975, just a little bit, Pastor Swalm and another pastor from the church came door to door. And so some people say, well, this door-to-door witnessing just don't cut it, don't work. I'm an example of a door-to-door witnessing. You know, Pastor Swalm came to us, me and my wife, when we were still together and married, and we had two kids and so forth, and presented the gospel to us. And at that time in my life, I was raised in Catholicism, and I had no need for God. You have your religion, I got my religion, right? That's the way my understanding was at that time. But that was in the spring of that year. But in September of that year, God picked me up, turned me upside down, and dropped me on my head. And that's what he has to do to some of us. You know, we're so full of pride, so full of arrogance as mankind. It's just, it makes you ill. It makes God ill. Well, he doesn't make him ill, but it makes me ill to see how much pride there is in a man's heart. You know, God wanted to, you know, save me from all that pain, all that hurt of 5 years. He saw it. He wanted to save me from that. But I chose not to listen to him. And I would laugh, like Pastor Swalm knows this already probably. Well, if he doesn't, he knows it now. But when these guys would leave, I would just like, oh, my gosh, where are these guys from? You know, they're, you know, and at that time in the drug scene, you know, you think, oh, these guys are whacked out on some drug or something like that. And that's the way I viewed them and so forth. But like I said, when God dropped me on my head, God got my attention. Amen. And I phoned Pastor Swalm up. My wife had just left September 14th, 1975, in that week. And I was at my wit's end. Well, how do I get my family back? How do I get my wife back? And I said, you know, my mom wanted me to come home to Saskatchewan, sell the trailer, come on home to mom. Mom, I says, I'm 24 years old. I can't be running home to mom. Amen? So, but what to do? I didn't know what to do. So, come to me. Well, maybe Pastor Swam can help me to get my wife back. And so I phoned him up and asked him, and he came over and he presented the gospel to me again. He says, Alvin, you need Jesus. And at that time, now I'm ready to listen. Okay, I need Jesus. But the full understanding of that, I didn't know. I didn't realize it. I said, and so we prayed this prayer, a simple prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. It just, you know, I prayed that prayer. Didn't have a clue what I was praying. To me, I was joining his church. That's what I was doing. But then he says, now we're going to study the Bible. And I said, oh, man, that Bible, I tried to read that thing, and I can't understand it, you know. But he assured me. So we started doing Spiritual Concepts by Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ Ministries. I went through those little booklets. There was 9, I believe, or 10. And I would say it's probably about 2 weeks to 3 weeks after that initial encounter with Jesus, praying that prayer, Jesus Christ became real as you folks. I said, oh my gosh, this is what everyone is looking for. The whole earth is looking for him, but they don't know it. They're trying everything under the sun, drugs, alcohol, relationships, finances, everything, materialism. You try it all. Just try it. And you'll see, once you get it, it doesn't fulfill the longing of your heart. It doesn't. It's only Jesus. Jesus inside of here. Hallelujah. That's the only one. Religious belief and religion will never fill this void. Religion will never fill this void, my brothers, my sisters. It won't. It's Jesus that you're looking for. It's Jesus that you're longing for. Your spirit, man, longs for a connection. And that's what God has put in my heart to preach and to share with people the world over. Wherever God leads me, I want to go. And this is the cry of my heart. It's been for so many years. I said, God, I just want to preach for you. I just want to minister for you. And I have been doing so. For 12 years, I've been ministering at the kitchen there every Friday night. Hallelujah. 4 years of Bible college probably would have been sufficient. But God put me 12 years down there, you know. You know. So over the years, you know, I says, God, give me a love for these people. Give me a love, Jesus, not mine. Because in of myself, I don't have love. My dependency is upon Jesus and Jesus alone, the Holy Spirit in me. That's the love that I want to come forth for all of you and for others. Amen? So that's the cry of my heart. But as I shared earlier, Pastor Swam came and so forth. But amen. And we got back together December 7th, 1980. God spoke to me about 3 months after Pastor Swam led me to the Lord. 3 months after that, God spoke to me, the creator of the whole universe, spoke to me. He called me by my name. He says, Alvin, I'm going to bring your wife, Kathy, back to you. Wow. And, you know, when you hear God, like, what did he sound like? I don't know what he said, but I knew it was God. I knew it. So I phoned my mom up right away, and she thought I was bananas. But, hey, in 1980, we got back together, and December 7th, we were remarried. We went through a divorce, the whole situation. We ended up with 2 more sons. Even when my wife could not bear anymore after the first 2, God gave us 2 more. You know, thank you, Jesus. Something that I wanted to address here, when we got back together in October of that year, 1980, and we are living together, we're sleeping together the whole 9 yards, and in my mind, for us to get married was going to cost $10,000 to $12,000. And at that time, that was like a mountain like you wouldn't believe. There's no way I could come up with $10,000 or $12,000. But I didn't know what to do. And my brother Ken Duckreen here came to me and asked me, he says, Alvin, are you guys considering getting married? Well, yeah, I want to get married. But he said, I don't have this kind of money, so I don't know what to do. And he said to me, he says, why don't you ask Pastor Swam if he'll marry you in a Sunday evening service? Well, I says, do you think he'd do that? So I asked him, and he says, absolutely. So December 7, 1980, we got remarried. And because in that process of those 3 months, in here, my relationship with God wasn't as it should be, okay? When you're living in that type of relationship, it's not there. My relationship with God was hindered. And many of you, or some of you, have experienced that, and maybe are living in that situation. God wants to so bless your life, but he can't. There's a restriction. There's a hindrance. And I believe that as you become obedient to God, and you do that, and go through the marriage, and get married, I tell you, God wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour down a blessing upon your life that will just blow your socks off. But because of that hindrance, this is why I have two sons here today. Two sons that my wife was not able to have bear any more children. Because of the act of obedience, God will honor that, and he will bless that. Amen? So I thank God for Ken and Rita Dockery. They've been such a blessing in my life. And Ellen Trudy Lee, been a blessing in my life. All the people from Oriole Park Missionary Church, I tell you, they prayed for me. I put them through the grind. It was no different than many of you guys. I'd serve God faithfully for maybe 6-7 months and just pressing. And then all of a sudden, maybe summer would come. And then I would be gone, be wandering out there in the world. But somehow, some way, they'd be praying for me, and I'd come back and rededicate my life to the Lord. So that lasted, 5 years. But when I got back with my wife, I knew it became a responsibility, and so I became more responsible. So it's time to man up. Amen? It's time to man up. Stop running from your responsibilities and man up. Become the man of God. Become the woman of God that you are. Don't allow the distraction of this world to distract you any longer. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Amen.
I think as he's, maybe done this for a few months or a few years, he'll learn to speak with more passion and more conviction. We are so blessed, really to just sort of recognize what's always been. This is nothing really new. You've been a pastor. We see you as an evangelist. We see you as someone who has those gifts that God has given you, and now we acknowledge it and we support it financially and in lots of other ways too. And I'm going to ask the leaders of our church to come forward at this time so we can lay our hands on you and ordain you officially. So if all our leaders would come forward right now, and Pastor Swam and Kathy, would you come up as well? Because we are completely aware, I'm certainly aware, that this doesn't happen without a wonderful wife who stands beside you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just wait till everyone comes up here. So come on up, guys. Amen. Yeah, there we go.
Aren't you glad that we didn't have to call Alvin? God did.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that we're not even commissioning Alvin? God has already done that. Aren't you glad that God is placing Alvin into our midst to serve his people in this congregation? That's something?
That's good.
Yeah. I tell you something. 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote to Timothy. And we're going to use these words as a kind of standing in agreement with God here today and with Alvin's call.
Thank you, Jesus.
When Paul said to Timothy in his first letter to him, and he said, "But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And he did that today.
That's right.
"In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ," which God will bring about in his own time, but it will happen. God, the blessed and holy and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, to whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we're just standing in agreement with you, Lord. We know what you've already done in this man's life. Mm-hmm. And we're so pleased to be a part of the commissioning even and the acceptance of this calling in this congregation.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are so pleased, Lord, that you've called him out of darkness into light. We're so pleased that you called him out of doing nothing into service.
Yeah, that's good.
And when we think, Lord, but you could have sent him to Bible school, but you sent him 12 years to the kitchen. Lord, we're amazed at how you work.
Yes, God.
And we accept how you work, Lord.
Yes, God.
We accept Alvin today into our ministry this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just wait one second. Alvin and Kathy, we anoint you with oil. This was a practice in the early church, especially for people who were pastors and evangelists. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God bless you. May God keep you. May the living God cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may God give you his peace.
Thank you. And God, I just have the privilege here, Father, of just giving you Kathy.
Yes, God.
Lord, she is your daughter, and she's such a beautiful woman. Father, you have taken her to, you've changed her.
Amen.
You have put your love into her heart, Father. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will use her in powerful ways. God, I pray that that love that's in her heart will just spill out to everybody.
Amen.
We'll continue. Lord, she's already doing this.
Yes.
We'll continue to do that, Father, that she will be able to support Alvin, Father.
Yeah.
That she will rise up in this church, Father, as a leader who calls people to you.
Hallelujah.
And so, Father, I thank you for her, and I just pray that you will fill her with your spirit, Father.
Yeah. Amen.
Fill her, God. Give her more and more gifts, Lord. Help her to know how to pray for people.
Mm.
Lord, I just pray that you that she too will rise up as a woman of God in this congregation.
Yeah.
And I praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Swalm, would you be a final person to pray today? Just your blessing would be really appropriate.
Oh, Lord, our Heavenly Father, what a privilege to bow before you today with this company of people.
Yeah.
And especially on behalf of these people who stand here this morning.
Yes, dear God.
We marvel at your grace, your mighty power,
your
patience, your understanding, the way you pursue after people, and you reached out to this dear couple and brought them to saving grace in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. May your Holy Spirit rest upon them and fill them full, make them strong and effective and powerful to ministry. Guide them by your Spirit every day, I pray.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord. We can pray your rich blessings will be upon them, upon their family.
Mm-hmm.
May their family all know you just
well. Yes, dear God.
We pray for them, Lord.
Thank you.
So, Lord, do have your hand of blessing upon them. Guide them. Teach them, lead them, accompany them, care for them, strengthen them, give them wisdom, direction, and blessing. We pray in your holy name with thanksgiving. Amen.
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 Amen. Love you guys. Thanks. Isn't God good? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Thank you, God. Wow. And I just finally just remind you that you are to be obedient, faithful sheep. that it's easy to just pray here, and it's easy to support Alvin and go, yeah, way to go. But that your prayers are required and needed, and we need to keep, it's a hard job. It's hard to be a pastor. And I just ask you to keep praying for him and to support him and Kathy and to maybe phone him up once in a while and encourage him. And it also includes financial support. We don't talk about financial support very often, but one of the things behind this is that we support this financially. There's a step of faith that we're making here as a body. We've decided to do this. We believe it's what God wants us to do. And we get behind Alvin in every way, and that includes financially, and I encourage you to do that too. We are so blessed by God to have him and the minister he's done already for many years. And I'm just excited for where this is going. I don't know where it's going exactly, but God knows, and God is faithful. So praise God. We have so much to thank him for. Amen? Frank, if you want to come up, Frank's going to be going on a mission here, and I just want to spend a couple of minutes praying for you as well, Frank, and maybe you can share a little bit about where you're going. I know we're kind of changing gears here a little bit. I'm sorry about that. But it's hard to follow Alvin, but.
You don't know that. Yeah, I'm going for 2.5 months. I'll be going to South Africa, Nigeria, and Malaysia. And I'm smitten by the man from Galilee, the one who ruined every funeral he ever attended, including his own, and the one who was so moved by compassion by the multitudes that didn't have a shepherd that he remained where he was another 3 days and taught the people. And I'm smitten by the man who said, I must needs go to Samaria because there was a woman at the well who was hurting in her heart and had been through relationship after relationship but just couldn't find peace. I'm smitten by this man. And I want to go tell the people in Africa about this man. And so that's why I'm going, and I just appreciate your prayers. And if you think about me at all in the next 2.5 months, if I come to your mind at all, for your information, that's God telling you to pray for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Don't leave.
Amen. Chad, would you come up here? I'd like to have Chad pray for you as we send you off. I really feel like this is a sending off, and you've been there before, and God has done, you didn't get into this, but I know that God's done great things, that you've seen many miracles. You've also seen many lives come to you, to the Lord, to the one you're smitten by.
Amen.
I'd like you, brother, to pray.
Sure.
Would you do that?
I will now.
Okay. Lots of warning. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Lord, thank you for the love that you poured out through our brother Frank. Thank you for revealing and showing yourself through him and through the ministry that you've called him to.
Yes, God.
Thank you for this missions trip, Lord. I thank you that it's a trip of victory.
Yes, God.
It's a trip of success and triumph over the devil. Amen. In every way. Lord, we thank you that nothing will be intimidating or fearful, but that it'll be you. It'll be you all the way. We thank you for many changed lives. We thank you that every place that they set their foot will be your ground, Lord.
Yes.
And it'll be greatly blessed.
Yes, God.
Yeah. Lord, have your way. We know what your will is, Lord. Your will is that they are all healed.
Yeah.
So, Lord, use them mightily, Lord. Yeah. In my name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks.
God bless you. I know that Frank wouldn't mention this, but I will, that if you do feel a need to support him financially, you can, our little donation, if you don't know about that, there's a little donation box by the sound system there, where Chris and Rita are. Any little envelope you put in there or a check that's marked for Frank will definitely go to that ministry and to support the work that he's doing there as God calls him to. Amen. So maybe I could use a little prayer. So Tim, would you just stand up and just pray for the word today? Would you do that? And then we want to hear what God has to say. Thank you, God. Thank you,
Lord. Well, anyways, thank you, Lord, that your presence is very strong here today.
Amen.
Father, there was a sense of joy when I walked into this building today.
Amen.
And so I praise you and I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for how you're raising people up all over
Amen.
The place for such a time as this. I ask, Lord, that you'd be with Stan this morning as he shares your word, what's on his heart today. Lord, I pray that you'd give him peace. I pray that you'd give him confidence in the word that's to come forth.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus. And I just ask, Father God, that that nobody would leave this place today without knowing that Christ is there for them.
Yes, God.
That nobody would leave this place today without peace in their heart.
Yes, God.
That if they decide to leave those doors and they don't have peace, that they'd come and ask somebody for prayer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I pray that you move mightily here this morning, Father God, and minister to the needs
yes,
that are around
God.
Us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. If you brought your Bible today, I just invite you to turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And we've been studying for a long time the story of the Exodus, the story of God delivering his people, that God is a deliverer. He is I am that I am, that he's faithful to his word, and that he brings his people out of the land of slavery, out of the bondage that they were in, into a promised land, and he is able. Amen? He's able to do it. Even though all odds are stacked against them, even though the Egyptians are mighty and powerful, even though they have chariots and horses, we looked at that last week, remember? They have 600 chariots and horses. It's no problem for God. We read last week about how the chariots, God parted the waters. He really did this. He parted the waters, and the people of Israel passed through on dry ground. But the chariots got their wheels stuck, and it says that they had a hard time driving after that. God is a powerful God, and he's a deliverer. The story that we've been reading is all about deliverance. It's all about how God says, I'm going to save you. I've got a plan for you. I am going to deliver you from the enemy in your life. I am going to set you free, and it's time that you're set free. And there's some of us here today that we just need to hear that. God wants to set you free. Many of us have been set free, thank the Lord, and we're just celebrating that today. So we pick up the story today with the people singing great songs of praise. There's times, and this is one of those times today, I think, when we're ordaining Alvin, when there's just great celebration, and like one of the brothers prayed, there's just great joy in this place. There's times when we celebrate and we sing a new song, and that's what happens in this story. I mean, everything had finally gone well. Their enemies had been destroyed. The river or the sea came back over the Egyptians, and they were no more. And the appropriate response when that happens is just great praise, and that's what's happening. Let me read part of it for you. In 15th chapter of Exodus, it says this, "Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." By the way, they all sang this song. It was like the Holy Spirit just moved them all to praise and to worship and to exalt God. "He's thrown the horse and rider into the sea. He is my God, and I will praise him. He is my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he is hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger It consumed them like stubble. By the blast, I like this, like the by the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. You want to know how it happened? God sneezed. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted. This is what the enemy said. I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness and awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. Now let's just jump a few verses to verse 19. And when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister and Moses' sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. And they all sang with her. Oh, wow. Praise and worship. And then Moses led, goes on now, it says, and then Moses led the Israelites from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. And for 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. It means bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. This is important. Just remember that line. There at Marah, God tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all of his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. You say amen? Isn't God's word good? It's amazing. Thank God for his word. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, there's times when we praise God and when it's entirely appropriate. And that's where the people of Israel were in the story that we read today. They're full of joy, right? I mean, all that they ever worried about, all the enemies and the pursuit of the enemies and the plagues and all the history that they've gone through, now it was done. It was dealt with. Their enemies were buried in the sea, and they appropriately, I know maybe it seems like it's a little harsh, but they just appropriately said, praise the Lord. Praise God. He's my deliverer. He's my redeemer. He's the one who keeps his word. He is faithful. He's answered our prayers. Praise the Lord. He is my healer. Praise God. My enemy is no more. My enemy is dead. My enemy no longer controls me. The enemy no longer dominates my life. The enemy no longer holds me down. I am free because my God is my deliverer. Amen? Amen. I mean, there's great praising. You got to kind of picture what that night must have been like. I've been thinking about that a bit this week. What must that night have been like? The night of, you know, partying and reveling and guys slapping each other on the back going, did you see that? Did you see the water come back? Did you see the look in their faces when they recognize that it is the Lord who did this? You know, the great celebration. They stayed up all night. They belly laughed. Right? This was victory. Wow, what a great event. What an amazing deliverance. What a mighty God we serve. The horse and rider fell into the sea. And Miriam gets her tambourine out, and the women follow her. Can you just picture this? Dancing around, singing in the spirit, singing a new song to the Lord. She's a prophetess. She spoke words of prophecy, celebrating God's faithfulness and his goodness. Everyone shouted hallelujah. Everyone praised God for his deliverance. Are you getting the picture? Good, because the next morning, there was no water. You got to be kidding me. There's no water. I mean, and there's no water the next morning after that. And on a third day, there was no water again. And I don't know if you can imagine this. I think you probably can, but they were getting a little cranky. Water is kind of important when you're going through the desert. They had pretzel mouth. They were dry and dusty. And all that partying a few nights ago wasn't helping, because they used up a lot of energy and they were dehydrated, and now there's just no water. And that's one thing, you know, if it's just me or you walking through the desert, it's hard enough. But there's little children that are walking this desert trail, and there's old people who are frail, and they need their water because they're going to die otherwise. Without water, and if you imagine this, if you picture this, without water, there's very little you can do with the barley or with the beans or with the macaroni and cheese. You need water. You can't hardly even eat without water. You can't chew on those hard lentils. You need the water to soften it. And even the food that they could bring along wasn't even edible, right? And the young were crying and the old were starting to stumble. And think about the cattle and the sheep and the goats. They were making a lot of noise because there was no water. And the people grumbled, we're told. The people grumbled. Because that's what we tend to do. Because it's part of our sinful nature. It's part of our pride and who we think we are. And it's because we're quick to praise, but we're also quick to grumble. And as you read through Exodus, you read that, you know, God actually takes that grumbling pretty seriously. And he's not at all pleased when his people grumble and when they turn on him, when he's been so gracious and when he's been so saving of them. But the people grumbled. People grumbled. And then, as I tell this story, I hope you can picture this, and then they came across some water. And so you'd think that this is going to be great. We're at a place called Mara, and there's some water. And so they ran towards the water, and they go, good, finally we can feed, you know, the old grandmas and the little babies. And, I mean, the breast milk was starting to dry up. And so they got down to drink some of the water, and they lapped it up, and they spit it out because the water was bitter at Mara. And it was not able, they were not able to drink it. And so, I mean, again, imagine how frustrating that, I know for myself, I can imagine how frustrating that was. You come over the hill, you're going through the desert, you got this whole caravan of people, and you go, oh, good, water, finally, right? Let's go, let's get into the water, let's drink, let's refresh ourselves. And then you get to the water, and it's not drinkable, it's poisoned. It's stagnant water, it wasn't flowing from anywhere, it was stagnant water, it was bitter, it was not for consumption. I mean, that's hard, right? It's hard when that happens. It's hard when we get to a point where we think God is saving us or he's delivering us. We think that we're getting to a point where this is what we've been praying for. You know, I'm sure that for 3 days they were crying out to God, God, we need a drink, provide something. It's hard when it looks like God is providing for us, and yet this isn't what God's provision is. And this is, let's remember this, this is about testing today. The passage even says that very clearly, that it is at Mara where God tested his people. And where he says to them, in effect, I am your God, and I'm going to put you to the test sometimes. And it means that sometimes your life isn't going to go exactly as you'd like it to go. It means that sometimes it isn't always going to be easy. There's going to be struggles. There are going to be hard people to deal with. And you will be tested because I am your God. And I want you to be stronger, and I want you to have a relationship with me that goes deeper than what it does right now. Do you know that? Do you know that God sometimes tests us? Yeah, he does. He does it because he wants us to have that deeper walk with him. He does it because he wants our roots to grow deep into the soil so that when the winds blow hard against us, we don't just crack off, but that we stand firm and that we confess that God is God. He's my Lord. He's my King. And he is my deliverer even when there's no water. Even then. Even then. Even when I'm parched. Even when my tongue is thick and leathery. God is still faithful. And I want to share, I want to teach a little this morning about God's testing. And I want to just kind of start with just this picture of the water, because I think it's important that we see this, that sometimes, and it's sort of hard for me to communicate, so try to, don't listen to the words as much as the meaning of it, but sometimes the test is when we reach a point where we think that we finally got the answer we were looking for, and it's not there, okay? That it has to do with what we see, if I can explain it this way, that it's a test of our faith, not of our eyesight. And that a lot of times we see things with our eyes and we think, oh, good, finally my prayers are going to be answered. And they look like they're going to be, and things seem like they're going to start getting better, but it isn't about our vision. And God says, you need to have faith in me, and you walk, right? 2 Corinthians 5, we walk by faith, not by sight. And that we need to not trust our eyesight. You can't trust your eyesight. Your husband who's left you comes home, just for an example. And it seems like things are better for a few days and for a week. And you go, okay, good. Things are going to get back together. I'm going to get my life back. But he leaves again. That's kind of like the waters of Mara, where we come to the water and you go, oh, there's water. It looks from my perspective, from my vision, this looks like everything's going to be great. But the water is bitter. Or maybe you've been healed of something, and then it comes back a year later or 2 years later. It's in the, and I know some people, we struggle with healing things, and I'm not going to be getting into that today, but it's just another example, though, that sometimes it's the things that we trust with our eyes that are on test, okay? The things that we trust with our eyes. We walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is to come over the ridge and see what we think is exactly the answer to our prayers, and it is not. Not yet. And God's saying, you got to trust me. You need to trust me. I will lead you to the still waters that you can drink. I will be your shepherd, but this is not something you necessarily are going to recognize or see right now. It's about faith. It's about trusting me. It's about understanding that I will deliver you, even though it might not appear like it right now. And some of us have been going through just those kinds of struggles. It looks like things are going to get better, and then they don't. And it's not because, hear me when I say this, it's not because God wants to play games with you. It's not because God wants to be mean, or he shows you something and then he pulls it away again. That's not it at all. It's because God wants your faith to grow. I want to say three things about God's testing us this morning, and they're going to be fairly brief. Just three things about why God tests us and what it looks like, and how we understand that. And the first thing is that God tests us, but he doesn't tempt us. We need to know there's a difference between being tested and being tempted. In James, we read in James these words, God doesn't tempt us. James says this, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Did you hear that? Nor does God ever tempt anyone with evil. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. God doesn't tempt you ever. If you're going through a temptation, or if there's something enticing, or you feel like, you know, you're going to fall into something, that's not God. God is not tempting you. The tempting comes from the enemy. There is a tempter. He's a deceiver. He will try to tempt you. He'll try to cause you to stumble and fall. God tests us, and that's a whole different thing. God tests us, meaning that he wants our faith to grow stronger, and he tests us so that we'll lean on him more and we'll recognize him in our lives more. His testing is always fair. I have almost a seven-year-old grandson. And if I were to say to him, Silas, I got a test for you today. I want you to tell me all the capital cities of each of the states in the United States. He wouldn't know how to do that, right? It's so easy to give an unfair test. But if I said to him, Silas, I want you to tell me how many threes are in nine, he'd be able to do that. He'd say, well, let me think about it, Grandpa, and then he'd figure that out. So there's a right kind of a testing, and God gives us those kinds of tests. He tests us with a test that's going to strengthen our faith. And he doesn't test us with anything that we are unable to deal with. Okay, so I want to try to, I know I'm trying to make this clear that there's a difference between being tempted and there's a difference between being tested. I'm trying to think of examples of that. One came up this week for me when I was at the superstore, and I don't see Walter here today, but Walter was getting groceries, and you know Walter with his walker, he's just had hip surgery, and Walter said to me, we both kind of were leaving at the same time, and he says, I suppose you don't want to give me a ride to my home, and I said to him, I suppose I don't. And I didn't want to. I had things to do like I usually do, and I wanted to go some places. But I walked away, and I started heading towards my truck, and I go, okay, I did kind of wake up. All right, God, this is a test. And so I went and got his groceries, and I put it in the back of the truck, and I put his walker in the back of the truck. I mean, I know I should have just done it automatically, and you're disappointed with me, but that's just the reality of who you got. Anyways, brought Walter home, brought his groceries out of the truck, and I knew that was a test. I could have easily just said no and driven away. That was not a temptation, it was a test. Now, had Walter been someone different, say a young girl with a short skirt and a low-cut blouse, and who said, hey, can I get in your truck? That would have, by the way, I don't ever let anyone in my truck. No other women never go in my truck with me, just for that very reason. But that would be a temptation and not a test. You understand there's a difference? That would be an enticement. That's not a test. So there's a difference between being tempted and being tested. And God never, never tempts us. He delivers us from evil. He delivers us from the evil one. If you're being tempted, it's sort of like the cookie on the, you know, if you have a cookie, you put a chocolate chip cookie on the counter, and you got a three-year-old or a four-year-old, and you just put it there, and you want to see what he's going to do. That's tempting him. That's tempting him. And so God doesn't do that. God doesn't put the chocolate chip cookie on the counter. What he does is he says, I have an obstacle course for you to run, and this is a test, and it's not going to be easy. Life is going to be difficult. There will be some disappointments. You'll need to bond together as the community of God's people. You'll need to learn to pray for each other. You're going to need to rely on me because this is the test, and the reason for that is because I want you to grow stronger. And this is the second thing. So the first thing I wanted to say is that there's a difference between tempting and testing, and that God only tests us, and he does it. The second reason is he does this for our faith. In the Bible, it consistently says that our faith is being tested, right? He doesn't say your joy is being tested or your peace is being tested. No, it's your faith that's being tested. So the reason why sometimes we undergo a test or a trial or something that's hard in our lives is he wants our faith to grow. He wants us to believe, right? He wants our belief to be firm in him, and it isn't about what we see. And that's what the whole testing thing, remember I said this earlier, it's not what you see. We think that we know by what we are seeing with our eyes. Well, faith is not, what does Hebrews say? Hebrews says that faith is believing what you can't see, right? And what did he say to Thomas? He said, Thomas, you believe. Good, way to go. Finally, you believe. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. And that's where God wants us to be. You need to believe without seeing. He tests us so that our faith will grow, so that we trust him, so that we believe even when it isn't visible to our eyes. We still believe. We still say, God is faithful. God keeps his promises. God is answering my prayers. God is healing me. It's about my faith. So that's the second thing. It's always, when God tests you, when God puts you through a hard time or there's a trial in your life, it's always so that you'll grow closer to him. It's always so that your faith will grow. It's about trust. I guess that's maybe the best word. Will you trust me? When I go through hard things in my life, It's almost inevitably, that's the question I hear from God. Okay, Stan, are you going to trust me now or not? But God, this is such a hard test. God, it doesn't look like things are going right, you know? God, if my eyes tell me that everything around me is crumbling, God goes, I don't care what your eyes tell you. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me? Thank you, Lord. What do you do when you come to the waters and the waters are bitter? What do you do in your life when things don't go the way you know you want them to go, or when you're going through a really hard time? You pray. What do you do when everything seems bitter? Thank you. Look at verse 25. Back on Exodus 15. So God is speaking to Moses, and this is such a powerful verse. I want to end with this today. God says to Moses, and Moses cried out to the Lord. Moses cries out to the Lord on behalf of his people. And the Lord showed him, it says this, the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. That's a profound verse. It's probably a verse that Moses himself really didn't get, but that we would get better being New Testament Christians. Moses really didn't, you know, and I love what it says here, that it's the Lord who showed Moses the piece of wood. So the Lord is with Moses. He says, you want the water to become sweet? Well, look, there's a piece of wood. Moses, the Lord showed Moses a piece of wood. When Moses picks up the piece of wood, he probably must have, if it was me, I'd be going, so what? It's a piece of wood. The Lord showed Moses a piece of wood. He threw the piece of wood into the water, and the water became drinkable. Right? The Lord shows us a piece of wood. And we know in the New Testament what that really is referring to. The Lord shows us the wood of the cross, right? He shows us the wood. He shows us the cross and redemption and deliverance. And he says, if you want the poison and the bitterness to be out of your life, you need to look to the wood. And that's such a powerful passage, such a powerful message. You need to look to the wood. He showed them a piece of wood. He showed Moses the piece of wood. He showed us a piece of wood, and it's called the cross. Jesus hung on the cross. He poured out his blood. He gave his life so we could be delivered, so that I could be free. Imagine with me, everything I've done, and there's been lots, and everything you've done, it's all been forgiven because of the cross, because of the piece of wood, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians, it says this, in Colossians 1, it says that, for God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Isn't that great? He's made peace through the blood of Christ that's shed on the cross of Christ. You need to look at the piece of wood today. Are you doing that? We need to look at that piece of wood. That's where my redemption is. It's where my deliverance is. I didn't get saved through a Red Sea that was parted. I was saved through a Savior who is Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross and who gave his life. He poured out his blood so that my sins could be forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Jesus endured the test of the Father so that we could be righteous. He says, you are righteous in my sight. You are washed clean. You are precious to me. You are loved by me. You are valuable, and I died for you. I died for you. You need to look at the wood and see what you've got. Some, I don't know, what is it, 35, 40 years ago, Pastor Swam, you were faithful to God because you showed Alvin the wood. It's really what you did. If we put it in simplified words or form, all you really can do is you show someone the cross. You showed Alvin the wood. And like you said, it wasn't always you know, guts and glory. You didn't say that. I said that, but it wasn't always wonderful. It didn't always go well. Sometimes he disappointed you. Sometimes he went his own way. Sometimes he was disobedient. Sometimes he didn't pass the test, but little by little, he started to see the wood. And Elvin, just let me speak to you that this is all that you're called to do, is just show the wood. It's all you need to do as an evangelist, as a pastor, as a leader. Carry the cross. Lift it up high. Let God's people know that Jesus died on that piece of wood so that all that was poisonous in our lives, all that was bitter, could be redeemed and made new again. You are a new creation, Alvin. You are, there's no longer you who live, it's Christ who lives in you. There's, you know, we can keep your job description really simple. Just show them the wood. Show them the cross. Show them what Jesus did. He gave his life for every one of us. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. Oh, thank you, God. And you have a way, God, of just letting your word somehow make sense. And I know I was struggling a bit here today, but God, you're clear about the wood. You're clear about your cross. And I thank you that you're so faithful. I thank you, Lord, that when we undergo a trial or a test, that you never give us a trial that we can't succeed in, that you want to strengthen our faith and that you want us to grow closer to you. And I thank you, God, for the wood this morning. I thank you for that little piece of wood that Moses threw in Marah, and it turned the water into drinkable H2O again. And Lord, today we just want to see the cross. We want to bask and glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. We want to recognize that it was on the cross that, Father God, you tested your Son, and where he passed that test with flying colors, so that we not only can be, but we are righteous. We are clean and we're forgiven, and we have the power of that cross in our lives. So thank you for that, God. Thank you for being faithful. And I pray, God, for every one of us, who some of us right now are going through a really hard test, and there's just a lot of walls that seem to be crumbling in, and it feels like things are getting darker. What we see, what's visible to our eyes, isn't very hopeful. So strengthen our faith. Like right now, God, there's some people here who just need their faith, their belief system, their trust to be strengthened by you. Strengthen us right now, God, so that we say unwaveringly, I believe in you, Jesus, and I belong to you, and I trust you. And you can have your way. You do what you want to do. I trust you. I know that I'm in good hands. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus. We celebrate this day. Lord, there's just so many things that we're so grateful for. We worship you. Amen. Amen. I want to just end with a song, How Great Thou Art, this morning. It's a great song, and it's about how great our God is. And if you just need prayer today, or maybe there's something that God's Word, you know, really struck a chord in your heart today, you know that there's been a time of testing or some real hard things that you've been going through, we never know about that unless you unless you come forward and say, I need prayer. I need someone to help me. I need to be lifted up here. I need someone to show me the light again. We want to be there. I know, too, that there's been a few of you that have asked to pray for Elvin, and we want to make that available to you as well. Elvin's going to be in a prayer room after our singing this last song. And I just invite you to, if you feel like God wants you to pray for him, you're welcome to do that. We want you to do that. So just join in that prayer room and pray for him and support him and keep him. But while we sing this song, if you have a need, just come to Jesus. And if you've never come to Jesus, there's no better time than right now. Amen.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hand hath made, I see the sun, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout eternity display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain branches and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
And when I think
that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Just worship God.
How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow with humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Then sing my soul. Christ,
when Christ shall come,
let's sing it now.
His shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart?
Amen.
Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Lift him up, lift him up.
Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus.
You say amen. Can you just indulge me 1 minute? Because you saw the big pause in the sermon, and that was me trying to think about what was coming next. It doesn't happen that often, but I just needed to, there's one thing I didn't say this morning, and I was trying to remember, but now I remember it. And that was sort of the third thing. Some of you are going, well, there's one thing, that I never got the third thing. Here's the third thing, so you're going to get it before you leave. And that's that God never gives us a test that he doesn't expect us to succeed in. So he doesn't give us a test for the purpose that we fail. He never does that. He gives us a test to succeed. If you're being tested, he is behind you all the way. He is your cheerleader. He is the one going, go, go, go. You can do this. You can do this. You can pass this test. God, we've all had teachers who give us ridiculous tests. We'll never pass them. Never. God doesn't do that. Never does that. God, if you're being tested by God today, and I want to just leave you with this thought, but if you're being tested by God, you know that this test is happening. He knows that you have the power and the ability because he's given it to you to win and to succeed the test. Receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May God give you his peace. God bless you. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is done not daring, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden
gladly bearing. He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,